الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطيع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فلا يضر إلا لنفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطيع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. Indeed, it's the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have come to this congregational prayer to remind ourselves once again, إِنَّهُ ذَلَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى, that the guidance is the guidance that comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sovereign, the neutral, the master is the one who knows what the interests of human beings are and what the interests of the creations are. Hence, his guiding is the guidance that matters, and his guidance is the guidance that leads us to the right path. He assured us, وَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكَ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, that whenever you find that guidance and you follow that guidance, you will have nothing to worry and nothing to fear. And this was the simplest message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to humanity through his messengers. But the credit to ensure that each and every word of that message is preserved in writing as well as in memory in his lifetime goes to only Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is described as Rahmatul Lil Alameen, mercy to the mankind, because he ensured that the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are preserved in his lifetime so that no one can change and no one can amend and no one can edit those. He told us that all of us will have to go back to the home from where we came, and on that day when we will be in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be asked, Iqra kitabak kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba, the book that was given to you when you were alive and you were writing with your deeds and your actions is now open, read it, and your destination will be determined on the basis of what you did and what you said. But he also assured us on the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَ, if we are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we follow his commandments, if we act responsibly in this world, on the basis of the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will indeed be successful not only here, but in the hereafter as well. One of the verses that was recited by Hafiz, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلَحُوا أَخْوَيْ, that the believers are brothers and sisters of each other, and their relationship should always be smooth. And if we find that there is crack coming into their relationship, we should try to mend those relationships. But we all know that as a community, we have not acted as brothers and sisters towards each other, whether it comes to individuals or it comes to nations and communities. Perhaps there is not a single Muslim sitting here or anywhere else in the Muslim world or in this country, in the masajid, who does not believe that the Muslims lack unity. Especially when the crisis in the Muslim world becomes much more depressing, the cries for the unity of Ummah becomes stronger. We all by now have memorize those verses of the Quran that tell us that the unity is the essence of the Ummah. وَعَتَصِمُوا بِهَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, who Hold fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not be divided among yourself. Or, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيًّا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ شَيْئًا. That those who divide themselves on the basis of their own understanding of their own faith and then make themselves a party, a group, a partisan or a faction, don't deal with them. Or the Quran also says that those people who divide themselves among the groups, they are so much excited about their division that bima ladayhim farihun, that they show their excitement and their happiness over the divisions that they have. We all know those verses of the Quran. And we all know the verses and the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the unity and the strength that comes as a result of unity. He told us that if we remain divided, we will lose our impact. He told us that if we do not behave like one body, then we will suffer from the pain of the others. He said that we are like the teeth of a comb. He told us that we are like one body. So all those things we all know by now. But one of the questions that we must ask ourselves, that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking the believers to be united? What is the reason for this unity? Is it to dominate others? To have a political authority over the others and then make them understand how we believe and what we believe and make them follow what we believe? Is it to basically ensure that all other religions are eliminated and only Islam stays in this world? Is it to clear and approach the domination of Muslims over the others? Is it to ensure that each and every word of the Sharia is imposed and implemented in the societies that we control? What is the purpose of this unity? Is it that we all pray same way? We all recite the Quran in the same kind of tajweed? That we all dress the same way? What is the purpose of that unity? And that is the question that we have to ask. What is the purpose of that unity and how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to answer that question? On the basis of the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Many of us probably look at the unity of Muslims in the context of the Khilafah, in the context of political power, in the context of a greater Islamic organization that would ensure that the religious and the ritualistic unity is prevailed among Muslims. But is it what the Quran is asking us to do? Is it what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to follow? Let's go back to the Quran and say very clearly why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be united. Ya ayyuha allazeena amanu koonu qawwamina bil qist shuhada lillah law kanu ala anfusikum aw al walidain wal aqrabain in yakun al aghnia wal fuqara. This is Surah An-Nisa, verse 135. And a similar expression appears also in another verse, where we'll come to that in a minute. But this verse means that if you claim that you are believers, then you have to stand firm on issues of justice. Even if you have to take a stand against your own self or your parents or your relatives, and it doesn't matter whether people are rich or people are poor. Interestingly, this verse is one of the 24 lines or the proverbs or the famous sayings that are inscribed on the wall of the School of Law of Harvard Universities. When you enter the law school, you will find three prominent inscriptions. One by St. Augustine, whose words that laws based on injustice are no laws. Or the Magna Carta sayings that none of you will be denied right or defer their justice. Or we will not sell justice. And this particular verse, this is the only religious text that the Harvard University has used. And a group of 150 scholars selected that verse and they called it the ultimate verse on justice. Every religion talks about justice. There's not a single religion that would not emphasize on justice. Well, what is unique about this particular verse and this particular message of the Quran? That you have to take a stand for justice even if it goes against you. Means that justice and injustice will not be based on the basis of religious identities. It will not be based on the basis of ethnicities. It not be based on the culture, on ethnicities, on race, on anything. It would be based purely on the values that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has determined as the essential aspects of justice. And what is that essential aspect of justice? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again describes this, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, that every human being, not Muslims, not Arabs, not people of white race or yellow race or the black race, people of all color, all races, all religions have been given dignity. So when you preserve and when you see anyone's dignity being denied, when you see anyone being done injustice, when you see anyone being denied equality, then the believers, it is your responsibility to stand up, and that is your uniqueness. That is the purpose of unity. If you will look for unity elsewhere, you will not get that unity. And it is a paradox that the community that was entrusted with the ultimate concept of justice is the community that have violated the justice and the rules of justice throughout its existence for the last several centuries. On the basis of ethnicities, on the basis of culture, on the basis of race, on the basis of wealth, on the basis of everything, we have acted in a manner that goes against the norms of justice. Quranic justice. And not only people, but scholars as well. We all know about slavery. 300 years ago, 400 years ago, 500 years ago, Quran was very specific that there's no room for slavery. مَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَنْ يُؤْتِيَ اللَّهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحُكْمَ وَالنَّبُوَّةَ ثُمَّ يَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ كُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ. Once the book has come, once the guidance has come, then there is no justification for telling people that you should worship me or you should obey me. Quran is very clear in Surah Al-Imran, verse 79. Yes, we all know that those people who helped the Europeans capture slaves in Africa were Muslims also. And the ships carrying those slaves passed through the straits of countries that were controlled by Muslims, and no one stood up there and said that this is against justice and norms of justice. Throughout the century, we can see how ethnic cleansing was done in the name of ethnicities and grace and culture by the people who claimed to be believers, and people did not stand up. Because we are looking for unity elsewhere. Because we don't have that kind of common commitment to justice, we have been looking for unity elsewhere. We have been bogged down in issues that are not the issues in the real sense of the term. We're more concerned about how should we pray. Well, we are sitting in the chair. What posture should we have there? Whether the hand should be on this side or that particular side? What is the dress? What is the cap? What is the hijab? All those issues. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, "Kunu qawamina bil qist." Stand for firm. Firm for justice. Shuhada'i lillah. On the basis of your understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, law kanu ala anfusikum, even if it goes against yourself. The ultimate. Who goes against oneself? Who goes against one's own families? Against one's own parents? Against one's own community? But this is the ultimate test of iman, and this is the ultimate level and the criterion of iman, that if you are committed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and if you believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his message, then through your action produce a community that stands for justice no matter who the victims are and who the perpetrators are. And look, for the last 20-30 years, as long as we have been present in this country, and there have been many, how many acts of injustices are being committed in this country every day? Pertaining to individuals, pertaining to climate, pertaining to the resources. Do we stand? Do our organizations take a position on that? Does our leadership take a position on that? We have to ask these questions. But what is the point in having a community that claims that it follows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yet negates the fundamental message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and basically takes the community on a direction that is totally different from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to be? Everyone else was praying in different form and different manner. People pray to God Almighty in languages that we don't even know and understand. They also have rules. They also have their holy places. But the only community that has been given the task to stand for justice, even if it goes against your own self, is this community of believers. No other religion and no other religious text has this kind of clarity on the issue of justice. And that is the uniqueness of the Muslim community. And it is this uniqueness that we have betrayed. And even now when we see things are happening around us, whether it is in Kashmir or it is in Palestine or it is in Rohingya's Burma or in China, we are still in double mind as to what to do. How much time we should give, how much resources we should give to stand for justice. Should we really take a position on that? Or should we start blaming others? These are the issues that we have to ask ourselves as believers. And see, in our limited capacity, what we can do. That we start this, our commitment to justice, from our own families, our own neighbors, our own relatives. And ask ourselves, have we been a source of injustice to anyone, and what can we do to overcome that justice on the basis of what the Quran tells us? And then identify with these issues. Identify with those people who are being denied their rights here or elsewhere. This is what the true manifestation of faith is. And if we are not in a position, as our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that there would come a time when we would basically be not in a position to question the injustices openly. He said that if you have capacity, stop it. If you cannot stop it, say it. If you cannot even say it, then consider that evil in your own hearts. So if you are not in a position even to challenge the injustices, speak to yourself. tell yourself that this is wrong, what is happening. Tell your children. Tell your family members, what is happening is wrong, and we must not accept that as a norm, as a usual thing. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find the ways and will create people who would stand against injustice. His universe is based on justice. And he would not allow injustice to prevail forever. But what we can do is what we have to do. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. This incident took place at a time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 32 and still 8 years away from the prophethood. A caravan came to Mecca, and it so happened that the chief of the Arabian tribe abducted the girl from that tribe and brought her to his home. The father went door to door, knocking everyone, asking them to stand for him and ensure that the chastity of that girl is preserved and she is freed. Everyone refused. And then came Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As soon as he heard it, he went to that house, stood there outside alone, and saying, if that girl is not released and if anything happened to her, then he would fight even if he has to fight alone. That was the norm of justice and the idea of justice that the Prophet even had it before the revelation came. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that revelation. كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Proven with his actions that he cares about, that he has the pain of humanity, that he suffers for that humanity. And this is what the believers are expected to do. The moment we take our ethnicity and our race and our cultural identities and our status identities away and really dedicate ourselves to justice, that means the dignity of each and every human being. That means that preserving their right to stand and live as a decent human being, that would be the day when the unity would work among Muslims, and that would be the day when whatever the Quran is telling us would make any sense to us. Otherwise, we can keep whatever we are doing, prayers, and as the Prophet himself said, it doesn't matter whether you pray long or you pray short, as long as you do not stand for justice for your people who have been denied injustice, they are meaningless. This is what we read in the hadith. So we have to look at it in that practical and pragmatic perspective. And especially at a time when we all feel that acts of injustices are becoming enormous and multiplying every day, we do not have the capacity to change things that are happening around us, but we have the capacity to tell others and to tell those who are closer to us that what is happening in injustice, and we are in a position not to cooperate with those people who are promoting injustice or who are supporting injustice or who are standing for injustice. That is what we are expected to do, and that is what each one of us can do in our own limited capacities. So let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He enables us to lead a life based on the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. رَبَّنَا زَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَعْلَى وَأَوْلَى وَأَهَمُّ وَأَتَمُّ وَأَكْبَرُ